So I was like, you know what? I'm just going to pull the trigger once again. Like you give me the marching orders. I don't need to know the answers of tomorrow. I've got enough answers to get me through today. The tomorrow's answers will come tomorrow. So I mailed that land 687 postcards. The postcard was, hey, my name's Brent Bowers. I'd like to buy your land at, you know, Wichita Street. Because it didn't even have addresses. It was weird. Like no physical address in this land. But this stuff was behind on taxes. They weren't paying. And I'll tell you, my phone blew up. I think I maybe got 85 return phone calls on 687 mailers.
Welcome to Passive Income Unlocked, where we unlock the doors to intelligent, hands-off real estate investing. We talk to experts in the space about what they do, how they do it, and most importantly, why they do it. My passion is careful, intelligent investing and closing the investing gap one investor at a time. While money doesn't buy happiness, passive income does have the potential to buy back your time. What would you choose to do with your time if you had enough passive income to live your best life? How would you like to spend your days? What kind of impact would you like to make? I'm here to tell you, dream big. There's no ceiling. It's all possible if you take consistent action towards your goals. It's been said that success is 80% mindset and 20% strategy. So we discuss both. Ready to gain knowledge and take action? Let's dive in. Hey, everyone, and welcome back to the show. Today, I'm so thrilled to introduce our guest for the day, Brent Bowers. Brent, thank you so much for coming on the show.
Thanks for having me, Suja.
Absolutely. Well, really excited to get into your story, Brent. Everybody, Brent is an Army officer with over 8 years of service. And at that time, he was spending a great deal of time away from his family, and he knew he needed to make some changes in his life in order to be more present with his wife and children. And that's how he got into real estate. And I'm going to let Brent take it from here. Brent, why don't you give us a little bit more color as to your story? You know, as you know, I always love to focus on people's stories and their big whys. So why and how did you get into real estate?
You know, I was always like fascinated with selling things as a child. You know, the hurricane, it was actually Hurricane Andrew in Miami hit us pretty hard, but my grandmother had let us borrow a wind-up radio. So, because we knew we would lose power. It was back when we had those like big radios with the big batteries, but this one was wind-up, so we didn't need power for it, so we can hear like the weather forecast. Well, after the hurricane was over, I went door-to-door to sell this radio because I didn't think we'd need it anymore. And then, you know, over the years, I started like just getting into entrepreneurship. You know, I would mow the neighbor's grass that needed mowed, and eventually it turned into a lawn business. And then I was like, well, look at this ugly house. Like, imagine if we fixed it up and made it nice. And I was just fascinated with that. So I wanted to be a real estate rock star. So I got started in 2007, got my real estate license, bought a rental, and haven't looked back since. That's kind of how I got started, really.
Yeah, that's awesome. I mean, I, you know, a lot of people have that entrepreneurial spirit as a kid. And then I think the key is really to, you know, continue that and not let it sort of take a break or, you know, at some point reclaiming that and really taking it to the next level, right? So tell us a bit about your career. I mean, how did you get into the Army, for example?
Yeah, so that's when I actually did take a little break from my entrepreneurship. 2008 happened. We had actually just moved to the coast, and it was really hard as a brand new real estate agent. I talked to you a little bit about mowing those lawns, and it turned into a lawn business. And we're making grossing over $100,000 a year mowing grass. So I passed this business on to my father. He's like, I'm going to build this, because he was leaving his job. He was kind of unhappy where he was at. So he took over the lawn business, and I moved to the coast with my wife to start selling real estate. Well, 2008 happens, and it's like I'm getting kicked in the teeth every day. I literally went from owning a rental property to owning a business to having a real estate license to so broke that I had to move in with my in-laws. And like, we're in a 3-bedroom, 1-bath house with 4 adults and 1 child. And it's just like, this is crazy. Well, my wife's grandpa, Jimmy Witten, who I really looked up to, he introduced me to Jim Rohn, not physically, but he gave me the tapes of Jim Rohn, and I converted them over to a CD. And I listened to those things as I would be beating the pavement every day. And he goes, you know what? If I had it to do over again, I would have joined the Air Force. I would have joined the military and I would have retired. So I was like, you know what? That sounds a lot better than what I'm doing out here. Like I'm driving people around to find the rental houses and it just sucked. That was not what I wanted to do.
Wait, real quick, Brent. So just to clarify, so you were currently, when you started listening to Jim Rohn and were pounding the pavement, you were helping investors buy rental properties?
I wish I could say I was doing that. I was actually driving renters around to fill real estate investors' houses.
I see. And okay.
Renters wouldn't rent anything. They had terrible credit. They would ride around in my car all day long with me. I was lucky if I made like $300. This is back in the day when we drove people. They're like, I want to see the house, but they don't even qualify for it. Now we actually want to see their application. Then we show them the house. So it's complete opposite nowadays with my rentals that I own, my realtors that rent it out or manage it. They're like, no, we're not letting them in your house unless they qualify. And I'm like, I was like, I wish I would have known this like 10 years ago.
Yeah. And that was just a factor of the market, right? Like in 2008, there's a lot of unqualified borrowers. Is that right?
That, I mean, their credit was wrecked and it's just, we were just kind of in that market where everything was like just so weird and people just stopped. It's like people stopped listing, people stopped buying. It was almost like when you fall off the ladder, like you lay there for a minute and like, what's broke? And everyone did that. Like they stopped. So I got caught up into that and I didn't see the long vision. I saw in my mind, I'm not paying my bills. I am a failure. So my wife's grandfather said, join the military, go back to school. And I was like at the recruiting station the next day, the guy had such influence on me and it was a great opportunity. I was in the military, went to basic training October 2009, then AIT 2010, Afghanistan 2010 for exactly 1 year. Was out for 1 year, basically taking a break from Afghanistan and then went back. And then it's about 2013 timeframe, April 2013, the Army pulls me out of Afghanistan, sends me to college back to Florida. And guess who's back in the real estate game? Me. Yeah. I buy a rental house right next to the college, nice. Start house hacking it, renting out the rooms. And from 2013 to 2015, I wholesaled houses. And then I really started getting my land business going in 2016. And that's where the ultimate holy grail of passive income started for me. And it showed me like it is possible to have time freedom, financial freedom, geography freedom. And there's like virtually no competition with this.
Yeah, for sure. Well, I'm really excited to dive into different parts of your story over the course of this interview. So I just want to hone in on one thing, which is, what do you think joining the military kind of did for you on sort of a personal level, not just for stability and income, but like in terms of, you know, how did it shape you as a person?
You know, that's such a good question. No one has ever asked me that. So when I went into the military, October 2009 to basic training, I was already 24 years old. I had already had a business, already had a house, was married, and I used to make really good money. And I went into the military very humbled because I started as an E1. That's as low as you can go in the military. And basic training wasn't even paying me enough to pay for that mortgage and our debts because at that time, the house was sitting vacant, the renter moved out. So I really got humbled and was treated like a child in basic training and had to, you know, get up early, always getting yelled at. So it was really building me back up as a person. And then I rose in the ranks with like 2 years, I was an E5. And then by the fourth year, they're asking me to be an Army officer. So it allowed me to kind of go and just realize all the things I'm capable of. I would do competitions in Afghanistan and, you know, you would virtually operate off of like only a couple hours of sleep. And, you know, it built me back up. It made me a stronger, better person. And it was really a good launching path to business because the military showed me, it's like, yeah, you can die in this business, but when you go into the real estate business of building passive income, no one's going to die. Like the worst that can happen is you lose all your money and have to move in with your in-laws again.
So. Yeah, totally. And then that's some really good perspective. You know, I mean, yeah, just thank you so much for your service and for going, you know, fighting on behalf of our country. Really, it's just amazing. It's very humbling, like you just said.
No, I appreciate it. And let me tell you a little more of a bright side. My in-laws have a way bigger house now too. So, I mean, geez, it will never get that bad again.
Totally. Awesome. Okay. So, well, that's great. So you came back and got back in the real estate game and your first deal was a house hack. Can you explain a little bit more about that?
Heck yeah. So, okay, here's what's really cool about military veterans. And in Florida, there's now no cap to your VA loan. Actually, there might be a cap. I think it's up to $1 million. So I used my VA loan in 2013. So when I bounced out of Afghanistan, I hit Germany. I had to clear my house in Germany and then get to school. And I had like 2 days to start school as well as find a house to live. So I went on Craigslist and I was like, who's got a room for rent? Because what I didn't tell you is on the second deployment, my first wife left me too. So now I'm a single bachelor. I'm going to college. I'm starting my life all over again. Well, I'm renting a room from this gentleman, and he's got a great paying job. I never see him, and he doesn't feed his cat. He doesn't change the litter. And I'm like changing the litter in this cat box. And I don't even like cats. I hope I don't offend anybody on the show. I'm not a cat person. I'm a dog person. So I'm like cleaning the litter and I'm feeding this cat. I don't even know what to feed him. So I'm buying this cat food. And I'm like, you know what? Screw this. I can do the same thing. So I bought a house like a couple weeks later, or I put in an offer on a house a couple weeks later and then closed in 30 days with my VA loan, no money down. I went in there and painted this thing, replaced the appliances and got it all pretty, replaced the carpet. And I had a master bedroom with the ensuite bathroom. And there was two other rooms that I can rent out. I rented one out for $580 and the other one for $550. Well, that covered the mortgage payment plus gave me an extra $100 a month. So I was like collecting my BAH and the military basic allowance for housing, plus I had a free place to live. So the house went up in equity. 3 months later, I refinanced it, pulled out $55,000 cash and bought the house down the road.
Wow. Amazing. Yeah. I mean, that's such a great story. And it's just, I just want everyone to just pay attention to that because house hacking is such an important tool to have in your tool belt when you're thinking about how to actually get to that next step in building net worth. For those of you who it's like an appropriate time in your life or even not, you know, I mean, even if you already own a house, you could house hack with the fourplex. But anyways, I'm a huge fan of house hacking. It's something that was critical, like absolutely critical for me as well. And so it's great to hear your story. And yeah, I mean, you acted by example, right? Like you saw somebody else doing it and then you were like, I could do this, right? And so hopefully for all those viewers out there who are seeing Brent do this or saw Brent do this, take that seed and, you know, plant it if it's right for you.
Oh, that's so good. Yeah, plant the seed. All oak trees were a seed at one time. And if I had it to do over again, I would have bought a fourplex or a house on the river. Like, yeah, it was cool being right next to the college, like walking to school, which I never walked to the drive. I was so lazy. I had a 2-minute drive or a 10-minute walk, like, but sure. I would have bought a house on the river in Melbourne, Florida, or that fourplex. That fourplex would be screaming hot money right now.
Yeah, for sure. That's so cool. I love that you said Melbourne. I actually am deal in Melbourne. It's a 200 unit apartment complex and I've never been there. So
Melbourne, Florida?
Yeah.
Wow. That's amazing.
Yeah. I'm a passive investor in it. So, okay, great. So now, you know, another thing that Brent just described is the Burr method. He basically, you know, do you want to go over that? Like, did you know that term at the time when you were doing it?
No, I feel like Bigger Pockets coined this house hacking thing. And I never listened to Bigger Pockets until like probably 2016. And I'm like, holy cow, that's what I was doing. Was the house hacking. But yeah, Burr, I just bought it, renovated it, rented it out and refinanced it.
And then you pulled your money out and you did it again without having to put additional capital. And so did you need additional capital when you bought that house down the street?
The house down the street, I actually pulled out exactly $55,000. And it's funny that the guy that I had helped me do all the painting and stuff in the house next to the college, his wife is a realtor still. And she goes, hey, I got a listing down the street. They're asking like $70,000 for it. And I was like, well, I've only got $55,000. So I bought it with all the cash I had. And then I literally was getting student loans that I didn't need to renovate a house. So I pulled out like $25,000 in student loans to pay the college, but I really paid for paint and flooring and all that stuff. And me and that same guy, Dennis is his name, every single night after college, I would work on this house.
Brent, I also use my student loans to do my first real estate deal. Anyways, I haven't heard anybody else who's actually done it. Everyone is like, that's a great idea. But you're the first person that I've met that actually used their student loans to do real estate when they were in school. So that is awesome.
God bless America. God bless America. I actually bought a piece of land on a credit card before too. So
oh my God.
I'll do whatever it takes.
I want to hear. How did you do that? I mean, Dude, like buyers accept credit cards, or how does it work?
No, this one wouldn't. He was too old. But you know what's funny is USAA. So I wanted to buy a piece of land and I needed $30,000 down. And the guy wanted $30,000 so he could buy his camper. I was giving him a life lease because he had like a little mobile home that needs demolished on the land. He wanted to live there for the rest of his life. So I called USAA and I told them what I wanted to do. They're like, "Ah, we don't loan on land. But we've got this credit card. We can give you up to $30,000. I think they call it a signature loan or a personal loan. 14.99% interest. I was like, "Send me the $30,000. Pulled it off.
Yeah. That's amazing. Yeah. Very cool. Well, just want to pull out some things from the story that you just told, like, so about your first couple deals. And then we'll get into all the cool stuff that you're doing today. But just for the listeners who are just getting started, Brent house hacked, he renovated, he used whatever leverage he could get. I mean, you know, you got to be smart, but student loans is a great way to fund your real estate business. I mean, this is not legal or tax advice, but, you know, just consider it as an option. If you are in that situation and you want to start real estate, you know, it's hard to get capital when you're a student, you don't have W-2 and you don't have, you know, you don't have any money to your name usually. And so student loans are a great source of capital. So and then he also had connections, right? Like he had a realtor friend and he was looking to expand his portfolio, and the Burr method, house hacking, just all of these things came together in his story to really get him going. Okay. So now, Brent, you know, you mentioned earlier that you found kind of the holy grail of passive income. And at this show, we are all about passive income, buying back your time and figuring out how to decouple your time from your income. So, you know, let's jump ahead to land. Tell us about, you know, why it works so well for you, how you got started in it, and anything else that makes sense. We'll go from there.
This show is sponsored by Lux Capital Investment Group. Lux Capital provides pre-vetted, highly favorable investment opportunities on a risk-adjusted basis. Our opportunities are diversified across asset classes, geographies, and operators. We are nothing short of rigorous in our approach to evaluating investments. We focus on downside protection, conservative underwriting, recession-resistant asset classes, and forging strong relationships with operating partners and investors. If you want to be an intelligent, hands-off investor and gain access to the types of deals that I like to invest in personally, make sure to go to lux-cap.com, L-U-X-E-cap.com, and sign up for our newsletter.
Yeah, so let's fast forward to 2015. I actually was in Colorado and basically I'm only there for a short time and then I have to go to Fort Knox, Kentucky to do a mission. But, you know, I'm like, I've got to get out of the military. I met this beautiful lady named Emily. We got married. We get pregnant with our first baby and he's born. And I am realizing, oh my God, I'm never home. I'm always gone, always training, always away, always deployed. And I really want to see this baby. And I don't want another wife to leave me because I'm never there. So I started wholesaling houses to make an additional income. And I was like, I just need to make 10 grand a month and I can get out of the military. Well, that was pretty hard to do across the country. And I'm in the field and I lose my phone for like a week or two. And I lose my phone because like we're doing battlefield operations. Like the phones don't work in the mountains of Afghanistan. So they take your phones away.
Yeah.
So I just spent $5,000 on a mailer that wasn't even mine. It's American Express's money. And I can't take the phone calls.
Yeah.
So start building a team. And I'm still searching for answers. I had actually hired Tom Kroll with Wholesaling Inc. to be my wholesaling coach. I went through his course. Amazing course. I actually had the pleasure of being a Wholesaling Inc. coach now. I'm with the Wholesaling Inc. crew. I teach people how to buy and sell land. But all this to say was I was searching for answers still. So I heard it. I heard this podcast. I was like listening to podcasts to and from work and every opportunity I got. And I was like studying, like, there's got to be a better way that I can build my real estate business to get the heck out of the military because I want to be home more often. Out of the 8.5 years I was in the Army, I only slept in my own bed probably 4 of those years. So it's gone half the time. And I'm sure anybody in the military can relate to that. That's just what we're paid to do. So I'm searching for answers. I hear about this guy buying land at crazy discounts and he's like tripling his money overnight. Just, I'm like, that is just bananas to me. So I was actually mailing tax delinquent lists at that time for houses. And I was kind of putting the land stuff aside. So I was like, you know what? I'm just going to pull the trigger once again. Like you give me the marching orders. I don't need to know the answers of tomorrow. I've got enough answers to get me through today. The tomorrow's answers will come tomorrow. So I mailed that land 687 postcards. The postcard was, hey, my name's Brent Bowers. I'd like to buy your land at, you know, Wichita Street, because it didn't even have addresses. It was weird, like no physical address in this land. But this stuff was behind on taxes. They weren't paying. And I'll tell you, my phone blew up out of the, I think I maybe got 85 return phone calls on 687 mailers. Well, I only had time to return about 20 of those calls. I had a brand new baby at home. I wanted to see my wife. I'm working like 13-hour days on post. So out of those 20 phone calls, I did two deals within about a three-week time frame. The first one, I didn't even have to negotiate. Retired CPA, he said, I'll give you the land for $285. It's not buildable. I was like, okay, you mind if I go look at it? I went on Saturday. Me, my son, he's like 3 months old at the time, and my wife, and one of my friends, Mike Jessier, he's also in the military. He's out now. He's like a Bitcoin crypto guy. I should have listened to him and bought some of that back in the day. But long story short, I had no clue what the land was worth. I was like, this is beautiful land. I didn't understand why it wasn't buildable. So we're driving down the mountain, heading back home, and I see a real estate office. I'm like, well, maybe they know what it's worth. I call. It's a Saturday. The realtor answers. She's like, hello. I said, hey, I'm looking at Lake Avenue. There's two lots. I want to know what your 30-day blowout price would be. I want to sell this stuff quick because, like, I'm going to buy it, but I don't want to leave my money into it. I didn't tell her I was only paying $285. Yeah. But I didn't want to leave my money in it. I was still kind of broke at the time. I was paying for all those rentals. And oh, by the way, I bought a triplex as soon as I got to Colorado Springs too with that the line of credit I pulled out on that second house.
I see. Awesome.
So I'm going in debt. I'm like getting drowned in debt now because I'm fixing up all these rental properties. Anyhow, she goes, I don't know what do you mean by 30-day blowout price, but I think you can sell it for about $10,000 in the next couple months. And I was like, what? And so I thanked her for her time, hung up with her, and she calls me back 5 minutes later and says, hey, Brent, do you mind if I offer on the land? I was like, sure. What do you offer? And she said, $5,000. I said, okay, cool. When do you want to close? She said, Wednesday. I was like, 4 days from now. She was, yeah. I was like, send me the contract. Let's do it. So I called the seller. I said, hey, I'm going to meet you on Tuesday night, give you the $285 check, bring me the deed. So he brought me the deed. I wrote him the check. I brought it to the title company that evening, and I got my $5,000 check the next day. And I was hooked. I was like, there's no way. So I did it again. I did it again the next weekend.
And okay, wait, that's awesome. I just want everyone to just like, just pay attention to some of the things that Brent is bringing out in his story, which is that, you know, he tried a lot of different things. And then when something, you know, started working for him, I mean, and he's tweaking things along the way. And then, you know, but once this land deal hit, then he really went for it. And so, you know, there's no straight path in real estate, right? Like it's a vast world and we're all trying to figure out, you know, where it is that we want to be. And so don't get discouraged if something's like not working out just quite right. Just know that you're going to find your path if you just keep listening to other people, trying new things and experimenting. So, okay. So I want to just ask you, who was the list that you were mailing to that, you know, you got those 87 calls?
Here we go again. I made a huge mistake. I thought it was the tax delinquent list. It was the tax delinquent list, but it was the county held tax delinquent list. And let me break that down what that means. This land was so inefficient, not buildable, not accessible, you name it, all kinds of issues that tax lien investors would not even purchase the tax lien on it. So the county had to take care of it. So basically they were so far behind in taxes, the county had been paying the back taxes, but it was still in the seller's name. So when they got my letter, they're like, oh my God, a sucker. So they were like blowing up my phone. And I wasn't closing on this land before I found a buyer, like except for the second parcel, actually. Because the second parcel, the lady's like 91 years old. She said, my husband was a stock trader. I actually met her in Denver, Colorado on her porch. Her porch was like bigger than my entire house. So she's like, $500, it's yours. I tried to negotiate with her. She's like, son, like you're getting almost 4 acres for $500. Write the check or leave. So I wrote her the check and I thanked her for a time. I went home and put an ad on Craigslist. $5,000, $500 down, $400 a month, 0% interest. I sold that land the next day, had $500 down, cash, by the way, got my money out of the deal. And the next month I was profitable, $400 a month for almost a little over 11 months. that's where my first passive income check came from. I'd owned all these other rentals. I would never have been profitable on my rentals ever. And here I am profitable on a land deal in 30 days.
Okay. I want to just make sure that everyone understands. So you sold that land, or were you renting the land?
I sold it on a contract for deed. So I got the deed for it, put it in my name, and then I sold it on a contract for deed. So basically saying, hey, you're going to pay me $500 down. You're going to pay me $400 a month until your balance is paid off.
Okay. And so it was a $5,000. So it was right, 11 months or so. Okay. Interesting. And so who did you sell it to?
So it's funny. The guy was actually a mechanic, and this land was not accessible. You could not access the land legally. It was surrounded by the state park. Unbelievable. If this guy ever, and I disclosed all of it to him, I actually called the title company. I was like, you guys have a real estate attorney. The real estate attorney is like, it's going to take thousands of dollars and a lot of time to get access to this land. But if you ever get access to it, it's going to be worth buku money. So I disclosed everything that they told me to this mechanic, and he purchased it from me. And I wish I could buy it back from him today. But, you know, that's who bought it. He was on Craigslist. He just wanted a piece of land he can go and turkey hunt on.
I see. Wait, so why is it hard to access?
So it was surrounded by state land, and it was a private road. That's the only way you can get to it. So you had to go through someone else's private road. So you either had to get ingress, egress, legal access from all 12 of those landowners that own that road, or get it through the state property.
I see.
Technically, you needed a helicopter to get in there legally.
Okay. Was there roads on the state property?
There's roads on the state property, and there's also a private road.
Yeah. Okay.
Going in and out. So it's funny because how it works, like it says, usually shows you in your legal description how you can enter and exit a property. There's certain parcels, the way they subdivided it kind of got screwed really because they left them without access. So, and you know, you pretty much can't landlock people. So there's ways legally to get around that. And I just disclosed it, and I didn't have the money to do that, nor the time.
Yeah, for sure. Well, that's really cool. And you know, you put it on Craigslist, and now this guy has a hunting ranch for himself. So how was he accessing the road? Do you know, or the property?
I don't ask questions. I just told him, I said, here's what you're facing. You know, if he ever gets access, the land's worth probably $150,000.
Yeah, for sure. And then he doesn't have to, but now he has a hunting ranch, right? So yeah, very, very cool. I just think that these deals are so fascinating. I love hearing the story of these land deals. They're just always so interesting. Okay. So you're making $400 a month. Now let's talk about, you know, how that compares to your single family, multifamily rental business.
So I'll tell you what my single family, my multifamily does for me. It's a shelter, because here's the thing about receiving. So I've built that up to now 114 notes. I've got 114 of these paying me usually per month, anywhere from $400 to $900. And I've got some that are like $75. So here's the thing. You can't depreciate land. So those payments get taxed at a pretty high rate of ordinary income tax rate. So what I do is I take the funds from the land and I buy things like an office building. I'm a partner in a 19 unit apartment complex. We buy single family homes, and yes, we cash flow just enough to pay for the houses. We go on the appreciation and the mortgage pay down and the depreciation game. Depreciation basically being our tax write off. So we don't do that for the cash flow for our rental properties. Cash flow just pays for itself.
Yeah, for sure. Okay. So you love land for cash flow, and you like single family rentals for tax shelters.
Tax shelters, appreciation, and mortgage pay down.
Okay. Interesting. I really like that breakdown. You know, I've never really thought about it like that, but you know, cause I have a cash flow business too, which I'm like, well, you know, and it's, for me, it's short-term rentals. And like, I'm like, well, that's my cash flow business, and you need that. Right. But then because, you know, you're growing and, you know, you've got to have income if you're not doing a W-2. But then, you know, obviously I do love these other ones. So I just like how you broke that down with land. Okay. So tell us some more about, you know, I know you've got some tips that you might want to share for first-time land buyers. Like, what would you advise people, or, you know, what kind of tips would you like to give?
Oh my gosh. Most of it is mistakes that I made. Remember I told you, I was like, Mr. Seller, meet me at the coffee house with the deed. I'll give you the $285. I didn't do a title check. I got a quit claim deed, not to be confused with quick claim deed, but quit claim deed. So all these little mistakes that I made could have really cost me a lot of money. So close these things through a title company, you know, get a title insurance policy, get the research done, make sure there's no breaks in the chain of title. Like if John and Mary Smith are selling the land, John and Mary Smith better be alive still, or there needs to be a death certificate or a proper probate, things like that. You know how I was talking about buying tax delinquent land? Well, sometimes I would buy the land where the people had paid the back taxes for so many years, then it becomes deed eligible. And then they go in and foreclose and take the land away from the owner. And the treasurer does what's called a treasurer's deed. Well, that clouds the title for like 9 years in Colorado, clouds it in Arizona. I think it's like seven, a little shaky on the number for Arizona, but little things like that you need to be aware of. I was just like looking at what the assessor site said it was worth. Yeah, assessor site says it's worth 37,000. It's assessed at 3,300 and I'm paying half the assessed. So I'm getting it for like, you know, $1,500 really. What could go wrong? Well, a lot of things can go wrong, especially when the title is clouded and, you know, one of the sellers has died, like all kinds of things. So make sure you're using a title company. You can eliminate most of those problems I just talked about. And it seems so dumb for me to say it out loud. Making money, you party. When you lose money, you ponder.
Yeah, totally. No, I mean, I think that's, I love that. When you make money, you party. When you lose money, you ponder. That's
I didn't make that up. I heard that from Tony Robbins, so I can't even.
That's okay. I hadn't heard it, and I do listen to his stuff sometimes. So yeah, but no, I mean, that's where we really learn. And I mean, I think that's one of the benefits of listening to podcasts. Like, you know, you and I both listen to, you kind of have to have like a mixture when you're getting started in like taking in information and learning from other people's mistakes through their teachings and their coachings and whatever. But then you also just have to do it, right? And so, you know, things are going to come up no matter how many podcasts you listen to. And that's part of the game, right? You know, so use a title company. Okay, great. Anything else? Like, I mean, would you recommend that people use these county delinquent lists?
Yeah, absolutely. There's easier ways to get access to land lists. I mean, I did a lot of work with those tax delinquent lists. Like they just came in like schedule numbers, basically. They were assessor's parcel numbers scanned in. And I would have to take that and put it into the assessor site and get the name and the owner's mailing address and the property address. So I had my virtual assistant overseas help me with that, where I could have just went to like, you know, PropStream and pulled a list, or ListSource, or priced.com, and just pulled the entire county list and went to work way faster, to where it took me like weeks to get that list scrubbed for the tax delinquent. And I said, I was just like putting those aside. My VA had already scrubbed them for me. I paid her to do it, but I wasn't mailing it. So I was like, oh my God, there's gold sitting right here on my desk or in my Excel spreadsheets.
Yeah, very cool. Okay, awesome. Well, there's a lot to know and a lot to learn from you. So Brent, you know, you mentioned that you are teaching about wholesaling land, right? Is that right?
Yeah, no, thanks for asking. Yeah, I teach people how to buy and sell land, either wholesale it or create a passive income business around it. I just launched my YouTube channel called Brent Bowers. If you search me on YouTube, I launched like 6 months ago. So I'm like giving all this stuff on YouTube. And I'm also a wholesaling ink coach. I teach people how to do it with wholesaling ink.
That's so cool. Well, is there anything, I mean, I hope you all check out Brent's YouTube channel. I mean, clearly he's got so many stories and so much learning. Is there anything else you want to share with the listeners before we wrap up for today?
Well, yes, absolutely. You heard this. Don't let it die here. Actually, just do it. Like, that's the thing. It's like the worst thing that can happen is you might buy a piece of land and get stuck with it. There's ways to get around it. They're like, it's just, you can change your life by just taking action when you hear a podcast like this.
For sure. Love it so much. Well, thank you so much, Brent, for coming on, sharing your story, sharing how far you've come, and just lots of interesting stuff about land buying and getting started in real estate. Really awesome conversation and glad to have you. So we'll see you next time, okay?
My pleasure. Have a great day. Thanks for having me.
Thank you so much for listening to Passive Income Unlocked. Before you go on to continue with your amazing day, please take a moment to reflect on what you truly desire in life. Then think about one thing you can do to push the ball forward in that direction. Also, please head over to iTunes, Spotify, or wherever you listen to podcasts and leave an honest rating and review of this show. It really would mean so much to me. Passive Income Unlocked is brought to you by Lux Capital. Lux works with investors nationwide to invest in real estate, We are closing the investing gap one investor at a time. Connect online at www.lux-cap.com, LUXE-CAP.com, for tons of free educational content to further your success.